speaking today with Robin Holzer, who is the president or chairperson of the Citizens Transportation Coalition, and I'm talking to you because there's some critical stuff going on for the expansion of US 290. And I want to ask you a few questions about that because I feel like there's a lot of information available, but maybe it's not all that widely known. So the first question is, let's go right to basics here. What is the 290 expansion plan? What is the scope of this? What are we talking about? What is TxDOT wanting to do?
Okay, well, and the first thing I would say is, if anybody wants, instead of listening to us, to go look at pictures on the web, the place they should start is my290.com. That TxDOT has a project team that has been working for years and years and years and years to plan a set of projects, and all of their information is on the web. So my290.com would be the place to start. There's general recognition that the 290 corridor is the most congested highway corridor in the region, and that relief is needed for Northwest Harris County travelers. So TxDOT has been partnering with Harris County Toll Road Authority and Metro, and a little bit with the city and a little bit with Union Pacific, to outline this vast array of expansions. The study area is the 38-mile corridor from 610 at 290 all the way out to FM 2920 near Waller. And they are looking both at what can they do to the main lanes of US 290 and also a proposed toll road or set of managed lanes on Hempstead for much of that system.
Hempstead Highway, which
parallels 290 for much of its run.
Okay, and where we stand right now with this project is that TxDOT has released its final environmental impact statement, which both means that this is a time for public comment, but there's also a limited time for public comment. So tell me a little bit about that and what TxDOT is waiting for from the feds.
Sure. Because TxDOT aspires, hopes to get federal money to pay for this project, but the total set of stuff they want to do is about $4.6 billion today, which means it's really probably more than that. And TxDOT doesn't have any of that money. So they want federal dollars, which means they have to go through the federal environmental impact process. And they've been doing that. The last set of hearings that people may have participated in was in July of 2007, so coming up on 3 years ago. And that was to look at the draft plans and the draft analysis. And bringing us up to the present, TxDOT and the project team think they've wrapped that up. And in April, they published the final environmental impact statement, which is a set of binders. You can get it on the web, again, at my290.com. But it's three binders. It's thousands of pages of information. And they think they're done. The deadline for public comments on that came and went very quickly. It was on May 17th, which was last Monday. And the next step will depend on what Federal Highway thinks. That while TxDOT is the local sponsor, that because they want federal money, the Federal Highway Administration ultimately gets to decide, has TxDOT done enough due diligence before we can spend this money? So TxDOT is hoping that in the very near future, Federal Highway will grant them a record of decision, or a ROD, to give them permission to start spending money on the project. We argue, however, that there are several critical issues that TxDOT hasn't addressed adequately in the current set of plans, and so we would like to see them prepare a supplemental FEIS instead, specifically to address things like timing of different parts of the project, whether neighborhoods get noise mitigation, what happens to the 20,000 people who use the HOV lanes every day if the HOV lane goes away, and a host of other stuff.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that in a bit more detail, because you say there's really two pieces to this. There's 290, which is what I assume is what the Federal Highway Administration would be granting or not granting money on, but then there's also the potential managed lane slash toll road out Hempstead Highway, which is not an FHA project, it would be a Harris County Toll Road Authority project, because they are the ones around authority, only thanks to the state of Texas. And so one of the issues that you have mentioned, or by you I mean the Citizens Transportation Coalition, have brought up is that TxDOT is depending on HECTRA the county toll road authority doing this work on Hempstead Highway, but there's no guarantee about it. Talk a little about that.
Okay, well, so a couple of thoughts. The first is the overall set of projects, both 290 and Hempstead, have been planned as part of this FEIS process. So the documentation that Federal Highway is looking at and the environmental clearance that they're seeking applies to both projects. They're all kind of bundled in there together. But what we know is, as part of the whole Texas state political battle over whether there should be private concessionaires for toll roads or not, there was this big bill passed in 2007 called Senate Bill 792. And one of the specific provisions of that bill was that Harris County Toll Road Authority would have exclusive rights to develop and construct and toll the proposed Hempstead managed lanes. So while TxDOT initially laid that out as a TxDOT deal, at this point, at least for right now, it is very specifically a county project. To go further than that, in terms of money, TxDOT doesn't have cash to build any of this piece. The one thing that they scared up money for is to reconstruct a piece of the US 290 interchange and add some direct connector ramps, I think in the inbound, the eastern inbound direction, so morning commutes could get better. They've got $314 million that'll let them add some ramps from 290 to 610 to clear up the morning commute. But other than that, TxDOT doesn't have capital money lined up for anything in the US 290 corridor. Meanwhile, Harris County Toll Road Authority takes in something on the order of $1 million in cash a day. They've got lots of money that they can throw at capital projects and are well positioned to be able to do the Hempstead Managed Lanes piece. If you look at the documentation, this part of this project, any casual reader would come away with the impression that these projects are lockstep, well-coordinated projects. That TxDOT is counting on the county to get it together and get this Hempstead Managed Lanes project built ASAP so that people on 290 will have a relief valve. They'll have another option before TxDOT tears up 290, and more to the point, because TxDOT doesn't have the money to do 290 anytime soon anyway. The problem with that assumption is that when you look at what the county has actually allocated capital money to, they don't seem committed to the project. Every year in June, which is actually coming up quite soon, Harris County sets the 5-year capital improvement project budget for the whole Harris County, including everything, you know, flood control, everybody, but Harris County Toll Road is a piece of that. And when you look at what they were planning to do 2 years ago in 2008, they had more than $2 billion allocated for the Hempstead Managed Lanes project, which is almost enough to get the whole thing done. Last year in June of 2009, Harris County cut their allocation for Hempstead in half to just a little over $1 billion. And they redirected most of that money towards construction of the proposed Grand Parkway, which, unlike Hempstead, which would serve commuters who are trying to get to work every day today, is about opening up land in far northwest Harris County, agricultural and rural land, opening that up for development. So we're real interested to see in June, when the county looks again at the capital improvements project budget, are they still thinking about blowing all of our toll money and tax money out on the Grand Parkway, or are they going to get it together and work on Hempstead?
And what's TxDOT's plan B, if they have one, if Harris County decides that the Hempstead managed lanes can wait or don't need to happen at all?
It depends on who you ask. When we talk to the project team, they have ideas about temporary HOV lanes that might keep the transit people moving, but otherwise there's not a whole lot that's going to happen.
By the transit people, you're talking about park and ride buses.
Yeah, it's mostly carpools, actually. About a quarter of the volume is the buses. But it's 20,000 people a day use this one reversible HOV lane on 290. So TxDOT has some kind of game plan that might keep them moving, mostly, on 290 if nothing happens with Hempstead. The problem is that the final environmental impact statement that they're required to submit to Federal Highway for approval doesn't consider what happens if the county doesn't do anything with Hempstead, and that's a problem. And so that's one of the reasons we're arguing that it's incumbent on TxDOT to prepare a supplemental FEIS to lay out, okay, if the county doesn't do Hempstead, here's how we're going to make that work for the 238,000 people who travel on 290 every day.
And since you brought up the Grand Parkway, it seems likely that if that segment, segment E from I-10 to 290 and then F1 and F2 heading east from 290, northeast from 290, if those ever do get built, we know that a lot of development will move out there, and that in turn will increase the traffic on 290. Has anyone given that any thought?
You know, it's funny. Federal statute says that if you're planning a big highway project, you need to account not only for the direct impacts of your highway project, like what happens in your 400-foot right-of-way or 500-foot right-of-way, but you also have to evaluate the indirect effects of your project and the cumulative impacts of your project. So that, you know, we know that if you build a shiny new road out there in far northwest Harris County, perhaps 50,000 homes will pop up out there. And that's going to have cumulative impacts on all kinds of things, from traffic for the people who are stuck on 290 today to water quality issues, since that watershed flows into Lake Houston. And if you drink, tap water in Houston, that you should care about what happens in northwest Harris County. It has impacts for agriculture and all kinds of stuff. But TxDOT, around here anyway, is notoriously bad about limiting themselves to the direct impacts. And they expect a whole lot of development out there, but they don't take credit for it, and they therefore don't worry about mitigating it or analyzing it very deeply.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about commuter rail, since you mentioned Union Pacific was part of this, and there is a rail corridor out 290, and commuter rail out 290 is the new hotness these days. How is that addressed in the FEIS? Who's doing what with commuter rail out 290?
That's a great question. The answer is the project plans that TxDOT and the county have laid out suggest that there is a right-of-way set aside, basically empty land, 50 feet wide, that runs parallel to the existing Union Pacific tracks. So it's a set-aside for, quote, future advanced high-capacity transit. And they assert that it'll be done by somebody else. There's no design work. There's no plan.
There's no statement of who that
somebody
else is.
There's no statement of who that somebody else is. It's a set-aside. And CTC volunteers like that there is room being set aside for some kind of transit in this corridor. But anybody who's looking for additional transit along 290 should not mistake that set-aside for an actual plan. That there is nothing in this document that gets us much closer to actually having additional transit service in the corridor. The other thing I feel compelled to say is if we add an additional sort of rail transit piece in that corridor, it's really important that we plan it so that it's at least as good or better in terms of transit service than the commuter buses that are riding out there right now. And that's going to be difficult, that rail isn't necessarily better. Right now, the 6,000 people a day who get on metro buses, get dropped off at a lot, they get on a bus, they maybe wait 5 minutes for a bus, and that bus takes them directly into Galleria or Greenway or downtown with on-street service right to their office building in many cases. That's pretty high-quality transit. It's on rubber-tired buses, but it's a very direct, reliable trip. If we put rail in this corridor, it can do a lot of things, but it won't necessarily be better than the buses that are running today. So I just want to encourage people to hold out for not just any old new transit, but really great new transit that improves travel times, that improves reliability, that maybe goes to new destinations.
That does something perhaps that the buses don't do, such as maybe go farther out, go to College Station or Austin or whatnot.
Yeah, so if we could get to, there's a coalition in the 290 corridor that if anybody's really fired up about commuter rail, they should consider joining. It's called the 290 Passenger Rail Coalition. And they meet up at the Cy Fair Chamber of Commerce once a month. And it includes people all the way out to Hempstead and Prairie View. People who, along this corridor who'd like to see rail come a whole lot further out than the daily commuter buses do right now. And there's potential for that.
Okay. Of course, also, the existing freight rail lines that are there now are at grade. And it causes issues for cross traffic. Especially if you're going to be putting in, more managed lanes, they will be expected to hold a whole lot more traffic than what Hempstead Highway currently takes.
Yeah.
Is that being addressed?
Well, so there's two thoughts. The first is, aside from this this transit set-aside that could be anything someday but isn't planned yet, there's the potential right now for either Harris County or Metro or the Gulf Coast Rail District for somebody to negotiate with Union Pacific to operate some kind of rail service on the existing freight rail tracks. And that's possible and maybe even desirable, but there's nothing in this particular 290 plan that gets us any closer to that happening. But the point you make about grade separations is really important. The existing Union Pacific freight rail line runs right next to Hempstead Highway. And right now, all of the cross streets there are at the same grade as the rail lines. And that means if there's a train, the cars have to wait, or if there are cars, the train has to wait. It's those traffic conflicts have both safety implications and, more importantly, congestion implications for both travelers and for freight for our region. One of the things that would be desirable is if someday, somehow, we get those grades separated. You know, whether we drop the freight rail into a trench, which would be really expensive and difficult, or more likely take the cross streets, or several of the major cross streets, up and over or down and under, so the cars and trains don't wait on each other. That's a desirable thing even today. Now, what's possible, but not yet planned, is because Harris County Toll Road is planning to put a new set of managed lanes on Hempstead Highway and make some changes in that corridor anyway, that creates an opportunity that we could put the Hempstead managed lanes at the same grade as the freight rail train and then take the cross streets up and over both of them or down and under both of them, that we could solve two problems with one set of projects. That's something we'd like to see happen, but that is not what the county is planning to do right now. So far, they are proposing to leave everything the way it is and add in a toll road, the Hempstead managed lanes, and when it gets to a cross street like Antoine or Bingle or West Little York, take it up and over the cross street. So they're proposing to solve that grade crossing problem only for the shiny new toll road and not for the current travelers on the ground or for the current rail. That has implications both for the quality of mobility in that corridor for the next 100 years, but also it has implications for future rail service. That particularly if we ever want to run high-speed rail in that corridor, we're going to have to solve this grade crossing issue anyway. Why not do it now?
Right, because it might be more complicated to solve it if you've already got these up and over to the toll road line.
Exactly.
So one more issue that I understand your group has brought up has to do with noise mitigation, because part of the design includes some pretty high ramps, and there's not much in the FEIS about this. And even more concerning is that if and when the FHA delivers that record of decision, people will have a very limited time to do something about it. Can you speak to that?
Sure. Well, so the first thing is to say, freeway noise hasn't gotten a lot of airplay in this region, but it definitely concerns people. I mentioned that there were hearings back in 2007 to look at the draft plans. And when you look at the comments that TxDOT received about the project, the single most common comment they received was from neighborhood residents along this corridor who were concerned about noise. That over and over, people said, we're concerned about 290 getting louder or the Hempstead piece being loud. Please design some kind of mitigation. Give us some relief so that as this highway gets busier that, we're not run out of our homes. The interesting thing is that federal statute, There's a federal noise standard statute that says if you, TxDOT, or the county or anyone, are building a new highway or designing improvements to a highway, that you can only make the noise a little bit worse. And you can't ever exceed certain fixed standards. So it's both a relative cap and an absolute cap. So a huge piece of this final environmental impact statement is a quantitative analysis of what does this design do and how much louder is it going to be? Recognizing that, you know, an increase of, say, 10 decibels is perceived as double the volume. It's twice as loud. And it's actually 200% more energy. I mean, that 10 decibels is a huge increase. So when we looked at the analysis, we find problems about who they counted and how they counted them. So for example, if you are a homeowner, the standard is quite clear that you have a right not just to use the inside of your house, but also your yard. So your yard can't get a whole lot louder, too. And similar things are true for schools. And it should be true for apartment dwellers, too. But the way TxDOT assessed noise, they only use the exterior standards for homes. The people who live in apartments and the schools along there were assessed with an interior standard, saying that it could be louder outside, and that's not a big deal, except that clearly affects quality of life for a whole lot of people if we allow it to go that way. The second problem is they didn't count everybody, that there are places where they only counted the people right at the boundary of the highway property, and they didn't count the people across the street from them, even though clearly they're going to have noise. And then there are other places where they didn't even count everybody right along the edge of the highway. Another problem with how they count and assess people has to do with elevations. The freeway noise is one thing if your highway is at grade, is right there on the ground, and the noise only goes so far. But if you look at a busy interchange like Beltway 8 or the 610-290 interchange, the connector ramps at those interchanges could be, in many cases, the new ramps are proposed to be more than 100 feet tall. And you can imagine that, number one, a big truck going up a 100-foot grade is going to make more noise than a big truck on flat ground. And number two, because that the source of that noise is 100 feet up in the air, it's going to project much deeper in the neighborhood than it would if it were at the ground. The analysis that TxDOT has done doesn't begin to deal with that issue effectively. So there are serious problems with how TxDOT has assessed and analyzed the noise quantitatively that don't meet the federal standards.
And if someone is going to be affected by this, what recourse do they have?
Well, clearly, sending in comments 3 years ago that said, please fix the noise problem, hasn't had the desired effect. So, unfortunately, you know, trying to bring political pressure to bear is probably necessary. So the first thing that somebody, if you live in Brookwoods Estates or Oak Forest or I think Stablewood, there are a whole host of neighborhoods along this corridor. The first thing to do is talk to your state representatives and your state senators and tell them TxDOT is building a project that affects us, and probably your congressman too, that trying to get some political leverage to back up the simple request for TxDOT to do the right thing would be a great place to start. The next fallback is litigation. And there have been many cases where people have sued. That happened along Katy Freeway, that there was litigation to make TxDOT add mitigation measures for the noise that they didn't originally plan to do. Some that, you know, was settled and negotiated. But anyway, so litigation is a piece of that. The thing that's important to know if anybody's contemplating litigation is that under current federal law, the window in which you can contemplate litigation is very short. It's only 180 days from the record of decision. So that's, again, one of the reasons why we're urging TxDOT not to seek a record of decision right now, but to go ahead and prepare a supplemental FEIS to really address these issues, you know, to do the right thing now instead of forcing people to seek legal recourse to get their needs addressed.
Kind of take it back for a second to the Grand Parkway again, because we've talked about how the FEIS talks about plans for this or no plans for that. Harris County is talking about building this big highway segment way out west that may connect 290 and I-10. And right now, of course, out there there's very little. It is, as you say, mostly farmland and Steve Radak's derby car thing, whatever, the stock, stock car hill.
To put numbers on that, if you look at a three-mile corridor around US 290, from 610 to Cyprus, there are nearly 400,000 people in 2005. From Cyprus out to the end of the project study area in Waller, they're less than 50,000. So, I mean, there is a huge difference in the population on the inner part of 290, which really needs some help, and not a whole lot going on in the outer part of 290.
Okay. And, you know, it seems like what, in effect, the county is doing and following along TxDOT is doing is planning for future growth out there, but it's growth that they're, in effect, inducing by building this Grand Parkway and by making 290 that much wider out in a place where maybe it's not needed. I guess I don't really have a question, but sort of philosophically, you know, isn't that kind of a problem?
It's a huge problem. You know, one of the things our county judge is fond of saying is we have to get in front of the growth. The growth is coming anyway. And yet you can see on the ground today that that's not true, that the growth in our region has always followed the roads that we have built. And the most stark contrast example of that right now is Grand Parkway itself. When you look at the proposed route of Segment E between I-10 and 290 and compare it to what happened south of I-10 down to 59 along Segment D, that we built one of these segments of road and we didn't build the other. Now, if our county judge were correct that the growth is coming and we've got to get in front of it, those areas should have developed very similarly, but they didn't. There's huge development along the section of the road that's built and lots of traffic congestion as a result, and there's almost no new development along Segment E, precisely because the roadway isn't there. So this argument of getting in front of it is baloney. We've got to recognize that when we build it, then the people will come, and we darn well better be building something that's going to accommodate the people in ways that are sustainable, in ways that we can afford as a county, et cetera.
Okay. All right. Robin Holzer, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thanks.